These last Lord days, we have been looking in other tree to a prayer meeting in a place called Death Town. And we're examining and listening to the prayers that were offered at that first church prayer time. And then something happened. God moved into that church. And there was a great confession of sin, a turning unto God, and the wind of God blowing on the seals of the church and taking that church away from its sloth and its sin and its compromise and its wickedness. And it became what it ought always should have been, a soul-winning church. We have had two messages on this, and this is the third one and the final one. And I want to emphasize that the whole secret of any movement of God anywhere is because of prayer. Now in Death Town, the prayer meetings were emptied. The sort of prayers that were offered had upon them the bitter, cold hand of spiritual death. There was no conviction of sin, no desire to serve the Lord with all their hearts, but they had deteriorated into the darkness and into the blindness of lovelessness and away from God. But when God moved on this church, we saw everything changing. The prayer meeting filled up on the Wednesday night. In fact, they had to carry in extra boxes to seat the people. One of the members, Miss A Sweet Dedication, was rejoicing. She said, "I have prayed for this. I have cried in the secret place for this, and it has happened." The prayers of God's people are now being heard, real praying. Not praying that soothes the soul, but praying that arouses the soul. Not the stringing together of pleasant language, but the wails and the cries and the passion of men and women who were sick of spiritual deadness and longed for the almighty breath of life of the one who raises the dead. The minister, and I had been called the big minister, because his heart had become a great heart. His preaching had become great preaching. His love for the souls of the people was manifested everywhere in the city. And he rejoiced that every meeting there was expectancy, but at every meeting there was that expectancy fulfilled. Now the prayer room was packed. Now there was a good woman. The elders couldn't get seats. They had to stand. Now there was joy as souls that had felt the warmth of the Savior's crimson blood afresh on their hearts sang with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This prayer meeting started, as we started today, with the old 100th Psalm in the first version. The minister's eyes were still bathed in tears as he joined in the singing. He was deadly earnest. The congregation sang as they never sang before. And after the singing, the congregation simultaneously burst into praying the prayer that Jesus taught his people to pray. And as they offered up that prayer, there came a special fire from the altar of God and started to set man and woman in the church alight with its warmth. The Lord Jesus, that great Redeemer who loved all the children of the whole world, was pouring out his love upon the assembled people. There was a little boy up at the front. He was scantily dressed. The big minister lifted him up in his arms and was seen to weep over him. And then he said, "My beloved brethren and sisters, our city is full of little ones like this. We need to love them into the kingdom of God. Search your purses. Let us have an offering to evangelize the little children of the world. There are hungry ones who need feeding. There are naked ones who need clothing. But they all need to know the love of God that passeth knowledge and all understanding. It is our task to love them into the kingdom of God by introducing them to our Lord Jesus Christ." That offering lifted was one of the largest offerings ever known in that dead town church. Like the alabaster broken box, there was no worry of counting. All was for the Lord, and the children had ordered the congregation to reach them for him. What about the children of Belfast? What about the children of your own street? The children of your own neighbors? What about the children of your own families? Did you ever wipe away a tear from an eye that wept for them? Do you spend 5 minutes of every day just to remind God that you have loved ones who are lost and need to be found? Big minister, after the lifting of the offering, called the whole congregation to pray. And soon those prayers ignited a fire of praise and brought down upon that fire the showers of blessing. So the atmosphere was an atmosphere of revival. The burden of the prayer and praise was something that shut each person alone with their God. Shut in with the Trinity suite, with patience and grace all pain to meet. Which faith that can suffer and stand and want and lean on the promises that are strong and great. The big minister then announced that he had received a letter from a new businessman who had just set up business in the city. It read, strangely, "Praise God for grace to give 20 shillings in the pound, to give 36 inches to the yard, to give 16 ounces to the pound, and not lie about the cost of services giving." The preacher said he little thought I would be mentioning this matter tonight at this meeting. But everything in God's house should be open, and openness and honor should be our guiding star. A ripple was caused in the congregation for a man called John Taylor got up, and he publicly announced unexpected blessings. He said he was overwhelmed with the greatness and goodness of God. He said he wanted to put on record that he was grateful to the minister and the leadership that he was now giving to this church and to this city. New converts followed him. They told them how they had come to this church for years and heard nothing that touched their hearts. And then suddenly they came to that first meeting when God gave such blessing. And for the first time, they were moved with the warmth of heaven. How moving is the warmth of heaven. A young lady at the front got up and cried to the Lord to save her. And the minister opened his heart of love and made a most telling invitation for sinners to come and be saved. Three men came forward, publicly confessed their sins of their faith in the Lord Jesus. What was happening in dead time? What was happening in this dead church? The answer, a revival of true religion. The poet wrote the words, "Savior, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee." Surely once this garden flourished, every part look gay and green. Then thy word, our spirits nourished. Happy seasons we have seen. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. But a drought has since succeeded, and a sad decline we see. Lord, thy help is greatly needed. Help can only come from thee. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Dearest Savior, hasten hither. Thou canst make this garden bloom again? O permit us not to wither. None can hope in thee in vain. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Break the tempter's fatal power. Turn each stony heart to flesh. And begin from this good hour to revive thy work afresh. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. May God put us into the corner today and teach us the lesson that it's only the help of God can bring about such a change. The movement in that church among the youth was something for shouting victory over. A new building had been erected for the young Christians. Young men and women brought a freshness and charm because of their hopeful and happy nature and the visible beholding of their successes. The big minister began to become a youth himself and entered into this part of his evangelism with zeal that was supernatural. In fact, they started to call him the big boy. And people said in the town to grasp that man's hand and feel his worth is better than 20 sermons from any other minister. No wonder the building became too small. No wonder the prayer meetings and the church itself had to be pressed into service. The officers, the elders, the deacons had to sit where the communion table used to stand. And in the pulpit, the preacher and his leaders all sat together until the average attendance came to 800 people. The singing of these 800 people was tremendous. The Spirit of God used the singing to turn the hearts of people to heaven, home and God. And they discovered that hell has no real music. Heaven has all the real music. Heaven's songs are not to be compared to the songs of the world. The long faces disappeared. New, sincerely, holy, smiling faces had taken their place. Scriptures in abundance were quoted and learned and thus passed on in such a way that there was a special relish for every word and every verse. A home-like enjoyment overtook the whole congregation. When one addressed the meeting, one seemed only to see a big, glorious, happy family sitting around the great fire, and joining in such singing and eating, the like of which was never seen before. Such praise as you have never heard was heard each night at that prayer meeting. The big preacher spent a fleeting 20 minutes of speaking of a hell that needed to be shunned, of a heaven that needed to be gained, of a Savior who needed to be known, of a book that needed to be read, of a prayer that needed to be repeated, of a gospel that needed to be preached, of a life to live, and a witness to be freshly maintained. One present reported that the pastor in his closing prayer, brought a hush down that was like the hush before a mighty tempest. Then the tempest came, a hurricane of repentance. Men and women and even children wept tears of sorrow for their coldness and for their sin. Nearly 100 that night rose and asked that they might be led to Christ. Old men said it was like the revivals of 1837 and 1859. The big preacher and his colleagues, workers in the field of soul winning, were calm and burned with a great earnestness. One by one, the seekers were led to the cross, where their load of sin rolled off them into the bottomless pit of forgiveness. The hour was late when a circle was formed in the lecture room of the church, and around the circle, what prayers of thanksgiving were offered that night for so great salvation. As they passed out, I heard one of the town officials, a preeminent man, saying to the preacher, "I think, Pastor, we had better change the name from Dead Time, from Dead Time to Glad Time. Shout, for the blessed Jesus reigns. Through distant lands his triumph spread, and sinners freed from endless pains own him their Savior and their head. His sons and daughters from afar daily at Zion's gate arrive, those who were dead in sin before. By sovereign grace are made alive. Oh, may his conquest still increase, and every foe his power subdue, while angels celebrate his praise, and saints his growing glory show. Loud hallelujahs to the Lamb, from all below and all above, in lofty songs exalt Christ's name, in songs as lasting as his love. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. O revive the hearts of all." W.P. Nicholson used to pray prayers prefaced with those words, "Lord, let it come." One night he said this, "I declare in the presence of God and his church, I am ready for just such a spiritual scene. Nothing is so alarming as the absence of alarm in the churches. Nothing is so dreadfully terrific to my mind as that sinners have absolutely no terror of sin or of hell. Oh, that God would so baptize with power and fire 5,000 people as to render them incomprehensible amazements of power. Oh, for men so debt to all things but God, and so filled with him as to make them more than a match for the whole of the rest of mankind. Oh, thou God of Sinai, oh, thou God of Calvary, O thou God of Pentecost, art thou not nursing under thy great omnipotent wing, a great revival of true religion, which you will thunder and rain down in amazing strength upon a godless people. Lord, let it come. Lord, let it come. Lord, let it come. Let it strike Ireland, though it blow out our abominable church pride in the dust. Though it thrust our church pride in the gutter. Though it blew on the French and classical music of our choirs. Though it blow, and you laugh at this, the feathers out of the woman's bonnets. Lord, let it come. Confound the wise ones. And be understood by no one but yourself. Let it come. Thou art master of thine own tempest. Oh, send us the storm of the Holy Ghost. Before thou sendest the storm of everlasting judgment, may God so consume us with an intolerable craving for just such a revival of genuine, old-fashioned nature, Holy Ghost religion, something unparalleled and unprecedented in the history of the church, a revival of such a measure that man will be wiped out and God will be everything. A revival that will fill hell with consternation and make heaven delirious with joy and fill the heart of every true saint of God with wonder, love, and praise. A revival that neither ministers, nor dead churches, nor modernists, nor apostates, nor the devil will be able to stop. Let us cry to God night and day for such a visitation. May God add his blessing to this message and put within us all a thirst for a great revival of true religion. May God's grace be with us, and everybody said, Amen.